news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If anyone ever had a doubt as to his focus that day, it was not to defend us. It was not to console us. It was to praise and sympathize and commiserate with the rampaging mob. It was to continue to act as inciter-in-chief, not commander-in-chief, by telling the mob that their election had been stolen from them. Distinguished members of the Senate, this is a day that will live in disgrace in American history. That is, unless you ask Donald Trump.
Day two of the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump was intense. For those not paying attention, shame on you, but that's okay. I'm here to fill you in on what happened. The House impeachment managers wrapped up day one of 2 days presenting their case. It's actually 16 hours spread over 2 days. Trump's defense attorneys will also get 16 hours over 2 days to present their case. That'll happen Friday and Saturday. On Wednesday, Jamie Raskin and his team of eight other members serving as impeachment managers told the story of what led up to the events of January 6th, what unfolded on that day, and in the aftermath of the insurrection. They used video, much of it previously unseen Capitol security footage, and it shows the terror of January 6th, especially to the senators who now comprise the jury. But they were the targets of the insurrection, so they're also witnesses. For the first time, we saw the vice president, Mike Pence, and his family being whisked out of the room just as the mob was closing in. We saw Nancy Pelosi's staffers rushing into a double-doored conference room to escape the rioters, and just moments later saw those very rioters break down the outer of the double doors. We saw the mob descending on and beating one of the Capitol police from his vantage point through his body cam, and the images kept coming. We also heard for the first time newly released audio from the police scanners. The officers heard shouting, multiple law enforcement injuries, and pleading for backup.
Multiple capital injuries! Multiple capital injuries!
1318.
812 to 5th, and we're coming around from the south side.
Be advised, the speed
ended. Intel 1, be advised, you got a group of about 50 charging up the hill on the west front. Just north of the stairs. They're approaching the wall now.
They're starting to dismantle the reviewing stand and throwing metal poles at us. Cruiser 50, give me DSO up here now! DSO! Multiple law enforcement entries! DSO, get up here!
Alright, we're 30 seconds out.
Yeah, we need some reinforcements up here now. They're starting to pull the gates down. They're throwing metal poles at us.
Cruiser 50, DSO, get up here! 1033, RT 1033, west front of the Capitol. We've been flanked and we've lost the line.
And as impeachment manager Joaquin Castro explained, Donald Trump knew what was going on and did nothing to stop the assault.
While our commander-in-chief, whose job it was to protect and defend them, was just watching, doing nothing for hours, refusing to send help. If he wanted to protect these officers, if he cared about their safety, as he tweeted about, he would have told his supporters to leave. He would have sent help right away. And one brave officer was killed. Others took their lives after the attack. More than 140 police officers were injured, including cracked ribs, smashed spinal discs. One officer will lose an eye. Another was stabbed with a metal fence stake. They were completely and violently overwhelmed by a mob and needed help. And our commander-in-chief, President Trump, refused to send it. Senators, you've seen all the evidence so far, and this is clear. On January 6th, President Trump left everyone in this Capitol for dead.
And we keep learning more details, like this one. Newly elected Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama revealed to reporters on Wednesday night that he had told Trump that Pence was being evacuated and essentially was in danger in the middle of the siege on January 6th, recounting a call that happened just moments after Pence left the chamber at around 2:15 that day. Tuberville told reporters, quote, "I said, Mr. President, they just took the vice president out. I've got to go." Think about that. That Donald Trump knew that Mike Pence was in mortal danger and did nothing. Well, that could be significant to the manager's impeachment case. In fact, at 2:24 p.m., 9 minutes after the phone call in which Tuberville told Trump that Pence was in danger, Trump attacked Pence on Twitter for having no courage to overturn the election in his favor. Now, the rules for this trial require that the broadcast cameras be focused only on the speaker, precluding any shots of the senators as they're watching and hearing the disturbing evidence. But there were members of the press in the gallery, and some reported on the jury members. For instance, Politico saying that Senator James Langford, Republican of Oklahoma, was so shaken during a clip showing an officer being crushed in a door that a senator next to him reached out to comfort him as he appeared to start to tear up. Another report read, quote, "No senator appears to be struggling with the trial as much as Bill Cassidy, who switched his vote on Tuesday and declared the impeachment trial is constitutional." The Louisiana Republican is spending much of the trial furiously taking notes, pacing in the back of the room while listening to the managers, or sighing loudly in clear distress. He often shakes his head in dismay at video clips or crosses his arms, clearly perturbed by what he is witnessing. Of course, there's the unofficial asshole caucus, with members like Florida Governor Rick Scott, who called the whole trial a waste of time, and Lindsey Graham, who said, "I think most Republicans found the presentation by the House managers offensive and absurd." And then there's Josh Hawley, who was observed sitting in the gallery with his feet up, reading what appeared to be unrelated materials, paying no attention to what the House managers were explaining. So it's kind of obvious by now the Republican Party is in crisis. Registered Republicans are changing their registration, and Reuters is reporting that early stage discussions are taking place between a group of former elected Republicans, former officials in Republican administrations of Ronald Reagan, both Bushes and Trump, ex-Republican ambassadors, Republican strategists, and others. More than 120 of them, in fact, took part in a Zoom call last Friday to discuss forming a breakaway party, which would run on a platform of, quote, principled conservatism, including adherence to the Constitution and the rule of law, ideas those involved say have been trashed by Donald Trump. And finally, there's this. Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis on Wednesday opened a criminal investigation into former President Donald Trump's effort to reverse President Biden's narrow victory in the state, including his January 2nd phone call to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, urging him to, quote, find enough votes to overturn the outcome. Trump also urged Governor Brian Kemp to call a special legislative session to review the vote. Willis, a Democrat, beginning her second month in office, said in a letter to Raffensperger, Kemp, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general of Georgia, that she was best suited to look into, quote, attempts to influence the administration of the 2020 Georgia general election, because her office is the only state investigative agency that, quote, is not a witness to the conduct that is the subject of the investigation. My brain hurts. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. Every day I bring you this 6 minute long version of what's news that airs on the Progressive Voices Network. But each morning I usually do a longer newscast because there's usually more news. So you can now hear the extended version of what's news. It's posted each weekday in the on-demand section at progressivevoices.com.